This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school, Rock School, with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
To get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you are available 25 years after your first successful record.
And Chad P.
So I have a shot. Well, realistically, I could go. If I contributed to some musician's success in 25 years,
that's right.
I got a shot.
Class is in.
Broadcasting almost live. Chad doesn't look very good. This is Rock School right here on the Rock School Radio Network. I'm Joe Burns, and I'm a professor, Communication Department, Southeastern Louisiana University.
You part-time comedian, too.
Oh, yeah, part-time, but not today. I have the day off today.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, we do. What's your name again?
Chad P.
And you shaved the beard off.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I decided against it. Mm-hmm. Got to the itch stage and decided, no, not going to do it.
No like.
Hey, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Or the Rock and Roll Hall of Shame, as some people call them. In Cleveland, Ohio, who, by the way, lost this week, the Cleveland Browns.
They did.
Keeps me grounded with such a good team, the Saints, but I like to follow my hapless Browns.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
The Cleveland-based Rock and Roll Hall of Fame makes their announcements for nominees in mid-September.
Coming up.
What they do is basically say, these are the people, blap, and then they come out with about, 15 names, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. And then later on, January or so, they announce these are the people that are going in. That's in the category of performers.
Right.
There are four categories you can go in as. Performers, non-performer, sidemen, and early influences. It's the sidemen and early influences that nobody ever gives a care about. It's always the performers. ABBA. They put in ABBA last year. Kiss isn't in. Chicago isn't in. Hall & Oates isn't in.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, dude.
ABBA, you serious?
Stop hating on ABBA.
Have to hate on ABBA. What I've decided to do, since it's, I haven't seen any announcement or anything, but 2010, 2009, 2008, 2007, the announcement has always been in September.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming it's going to happen again this year. I decided to look at those two categories that nobody seems to know about.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, there's some great musicians here. Let's take a couple of weeks and look at the people who are in Sidemen and early influences and give them their due.
Define a side man.
It's a person who was a performer but not the main performer.
All right.
A lot of them are session people.
Okay.
A lot of them are names you would know because they've shown up on this show,
mm-hmm.
but generally the music public wouldn't know them as the main performer.
Okay.
Performer number one, Hal Blaine went in 2000. You got to know Hal Blaine.
He's a drummer.
He was a drummer, right. We're going to play Along Comes Mary. Oh, he was part of the association? No, this guy was part of the Wrecking Crew, which was Spector's Wall of Sound,
the Wrecking Crew.
By the way, we've mentioned the Wrecking Crew 1,000 times. Do you know why they're called the Wrecking Crew?
No.
Because at the time when rock and roll was coming around, there was a lot of old-timey guys that hated rock and roll.
You rock and roll.
Right, you're wrecking the business. So they called themselves the Wrecking Crew.
Yes, we are.
Dig this.
What?
Hal Blaine may be the most successful drummer ever.
How's
he
that?
Has been on 40 number one singles, 150 that have made the top 10, 8 of them have been Grammy winners for Record of the Year.
And that's a shame because with all that success, you'd say Hal Blaine and someone goes, Hal who?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So here you go. Hal Blaine, when you hear the drums in this one, it's him. Along Comes Mary, the association as we do Sidemen today, Rock School.
To open up the first Monterey International Pop Festival, we'd like to give you the association.
You know, going back to ABBA, since you're hating on them so much, do you know who inducted them into the Hall of Fame?
Who put ABBA into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who did the induct?
Belinda Carlisle.
Oh, man. Barry and Robin Gibb.
Oh, did they really?
Yes, they did.
Great. Lovely. If lightning strikes twice, Belinda Carlisle could go in this year. She just came available. So did Babyface, Bobby Brown, Bruce Hornsby, Cinderella, because you don't know what you got till it's gone.
That's right.
Concrete Blonde and Crowded House. And I'll tell you some other ones that actually might go in this year, or at least may became available.
What do you mean became available?
Well, to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you are available 25 years after your first successful record.
Okay.
Or your first record, period, I think it is. So if you had success with like your third record, your first record gets you in.
I would think like, you know, define success then. You have a shade of gray.
So it would be your first record.
Like, okay.
Technically, if your third record's your monster, it would be your first record
that
gets you the ability to go on.
Like history doesn't make it into a textbook until 20 years after it occurred.
I guess so. Yeah, that would be it. Right. And a car becomes an antique, I think, in 25 years.
Cool deal.
So my piece of junk has, I think, another 9 years. And
so
I'm not driving a piece of junk. I'm driving an antique.
Is it safe to assume then that you just back up 25 years and look at who put out an album?
That's it.
And you just, okay, well, these guys came out at 25 years ago, so there's a good chance that they may go in.
Plus all the people who have yet to go in.
Uh-huh.
The Cure, Rush, Alice Cooper, Moody Blues, ELO, Cheap Trick.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
King Curtis was put in as a sideman in the year 2000. Ever heard of him?
King Curtis, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Prince Curtis's daddy.
That's right, yeah. He is a saxophonist. This is why sidemen never get any real, you know, who are these people? That's why I thought a show on them would be good.
Well, if you look at it on the site, on the Hall of Fame site,
right.
It says, you know, sidemen are defined as the background folks that usually stayed out of the spotlight.
That's right. This guy played sax on A Lover's Question. He also played with Aretha Franklin, Wilson Pickett, Solomon Burke, Bobby Darin, Roberta Flack, Donnie Hathaway. Yada 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 yada.
Oh, you played with them too.
The yada yadas. They're fantastic. But
open for ABBA.
What is the one song? Point to it. Point to the song that who would I know? What would be the song that I would go, oh, I know that saxophone part? Coasters, 1958. Yaggity yak. Don't talk back.
Don't talk back.
Rack School.
Take out the papers and the trash.
This is Rock School as we talk about sidemen this week and then next week, early influences, talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, who we are looking to make their announcements sometime mid-September of the nominations to go in 2011.
That one will probably be a little bit harder to predict, the early influences, because the formula that we just talked about, going back 25 years, that wouldn't apply to those guys, correct?
No, not at all. It's going to be somebody that's plucked out, and the non-performers are even more difficult.
Yeah.
That's where like the David Geffens get thrown in and the people from record companies and such, the disc jockeys get thrown in and such.
See, and I don't think that, this is just my opinion, what do you think about the non-performers? I don't think that they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. When I followed pro wrestling around, they started doing this pro wrestling Hall of Fame,
right.
And they put Pete Rose in. Because they involved him in some type of wrestling angle, and he got choke slammed by one of the monster wrestlers or whatever, and they stuck him in the Hall of Fame. Like, come on, that's ridiculous.
Yes, but there is a list of non-performers that should go in, like Alan Freed.
Yeah.
He should go in. He's non-performer, but he had a lot to do with rock and roll.
Well, I'll give you that one.
Yeah,
but
there are people like the Colonel. That was in charge of rock and roll or of Elvis Presley's business.
Right,
he probably should go in.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that fits. I think the non-performers fit.
All right.
It's just I don't have any music to play from the non-performers, so
right.
We can't do a show on
them.
Here's
the Colonel saying,
give me 50% of your royalties, there, King.
Yeah.
Okay, this next person also from 2000. Really, the first two I just could have listed song after song after song after song after song. This person is really only known for being the guitarist for one person, Elvis.
Well, pshaw.
There you go. At Sun Studios, Monday, July 5th, 1954, Elvis is trying to record and Sam Phillips is yelling at him and nothing's happening. And they said, well, you guys take a break. Nothing's happening here. And then Elvis, Scotty, and Bill start to play around with, "That's All Right, Mama." And Sam goes running back in and said, "That's it. That's the song that we want.
Keep doing that. Let me hit the red button."
That's right. And off it goes. Sun number 209 was credited to Elvis Presley, Bill, and Scotty. Scotty Moore. He goes in as a sideman. "That's All Right, Mama." Rock School.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do it. That's all right. That's all right.
This is Rock School as we talk about those that have a shot at going in as sidemen and those that are already in as sidemen.
So I have a shot.
Yes, you do.
I could actually go.
Because you're a sideman.
Well, realistically, I could go. If I contributed to some musician's success in 25 years,
that's right.
I got a shot.
You got a shot. Here are some people that actually have a shot this year as well. Dwight Yoakam, Guns N' Roses.
Sidemen?
No. These are people that are going as performers this year.
Sorry.
Lyle Lovett, Matthew Sweet, The Melvins, New Kids on the Block, Poison, Roxette, Tesla, The Lemonheads, and They Might Be Giants.
I can't believe Guns N' Roses. I bought their first album.
Yeah, and now they have a shot.
I feel old.
Yeah, now they have
a shot. I really
do. Here is a story that's a little heartbreaking and a little hurrah, whichever way you want to look at it.
I'll take the hurrah.
Yeah, I know. In 2001, Johnny Johnson has been called the world's greatest living blues pianist. He played for Chuck Berry. It's all in how you look at it. Did Chuck Berry really, you know, mess this guy over, or did this guy not stand up for himself? Chuck Berry's always listed as the author on his songs,
mm-hmm.
but Johnny Johnson probably did a good bit of the writing. Chuck Berry just was the lead guy.
Yeah.
And was one of the dozen or so people that helped write songs like No Particular Place to Go, Sweet Little 16, Roll Over Beethoven, that credit Chuck Berry alone. Johnny Johnson didn't have the success of Berry and was basically driving a truck and a school bus to keep himself alive until 1987's concert documentary called Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll that was put together by Keith Richards.
Mm-hmm.
It was until then, until Johnson was really brought forward and people said, this is what the guy did. Look what he did. It even came to a lawsuit in 2000 where Johnson went and said, look, I wrote those songs. Pay me royalties.
No, you should have said something back then.
Probably.
You should have said something back then. I can't sympathize with you, guy. You're going to drive the bus and beat yourself up for not saying something. You should have said something.
Yeah, the problem was the courts agreed with you. They said too much time had passed.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, you know.
So it's all in how you look at it, but he got at least in 2001 his name stuck into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a sideman. Johnny Johnson, here you go. He's on the piano, rock and roll music, Chuck Berry, Rock School.
Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music, any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it, any old time you use it. It's got to be rock and roll music. If you want to dance with me, if you want to dance with me.
Johnny Johnson right here on Rock School.
I'm sorry. The guy should have stood up for himself. I think, in my opinion only, he should have stood up for himself. Maybe he wouldn't have had to drive a bus.
Should have. I'm holding the new Heart album in my hands. The guy who runs his radio station, we'll call him Todd.
I guess.
Yeah, just came in and handed that to me. Heart is another group that could be in, along with Journey, Foreigner, Public Enemy. No. Rap should not be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, we're not going to get into this discussion, okay?
And the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
You're an anti-dentite.
That's
the problem.
What, did I hate dentists?
You don't like rap.
Yeah, I don't. Well, no, I don't dislike rap. Rap shouldn't be in the hall.
So Run DMC shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
No.
Why not?
Because they are rap. Rap did not start with the same roots as rock and roll. Rap started in New York City, specifically Bedford-Stuyvesant, New York City, and it should have its own Hall of Fame.
The Rap Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Nah.
Just like there's a Country Hall of Fame, just like there's a Bluegrass Hall of Fame.
But dude,
the two musics did not converge or did not grow out of one another. I have nothing against rap. Rap is fine.
No, I know.
But to put music, to put rap music in the Hall of Fame, which is what Dave Wiener did, I've probably pronounced Winner, to put it into the Hall of the Rock Hall of Fame was to attempt to boost ticket sales, and it was a ploy and wrong.
DMC helped rejuvenate Aerosmith's career.
Big deal, nothing. Aerosmith would have had success without it. It's not enough to put them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They should be one of the first groups to go into the Rap Hall of Fame. In fact, they should open it. It should be dedicated to the guy who was the one who spun the records for them, Jam Master Jay. There should be a fantastic building built, and it should be an homage to this great bit of music, but it shouldn't be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Moving along,
we should say hi to hello KLSU on the campus of Louisiana State University. Hi, Tiger Radio. Thanks for running the radio show.
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana. Shreveport would be a great place for the Rap Hall of Fame.
It would. Rap started there.
Yes, it did.
I get to do it.
Ah,
I did one this week. Thank you. You want to join us on Facebook? Tell me I'm right. Contact your Facebook telegraphic computorial box thing and look up Rock School Radio Show. You'll find us. Back in a minute. Rock School.
Telegraphic?
Let's get back to the topic.
Why don't we?
Sidemen in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right here in Rock School.
Let's talk about Garfunkel. Would Simon go in as the performer and Garfunkel be the sideman?
No, I think you have to be a musician. 2002, Chet Atkins, Mr. Guitar, goes in playing that big, beautiful orange Gretsch Country Gentleman guitar. He was easily the most awarded guitar in history. I mean, just a fantastic player. And as a studio musician, everybody. Elvis, he was on Heartbreak Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guitarist on Heartbreak Hotel. Everly Brothers, Hank Williams, Roy Orbison, and just, if you want, simply go to, I know Wikipedia is not the best place, but for factual information, not bad. Go and just look at everybody this guy has played with. He was the superstar of his day on the guitar. There was only one guitarist, this was his statement, only one guitarist that made him nervous. Only one guitarist, he said, could beat him every time he sat down to play with him.
Who's that?
Jerry Reed.
Jerry Reed?
Jerry Reed could make him nervous. Jerry Reed liked the statement so much, he wrote a song called Jerry's Breakdown. Where he played the first part. He, Jerry Reed, played the first part.
Are you serious?
Chet Atkins played the lead on the second part.
Yeah.
I have here the live version of Jerry Reed and Chet Atkins playing together. Jerry's the first part. Chet Atkins plays the lead in the second part. And you'll hear Jerry right in the middle of it say, "Boy, I'm glad it's your turn." Because it is one heck of a guitar piece.
Jerry Reed.
Jerry Reed.
Breaker, breaker for the snowman.
You got it. And it sounds like this. Rock School. This is Rock School, talking about sidemen. Let's talk about Earl Palmer. Okay, you know who Earl Palmer is?
The drummer!
There you go, yet another one. He goes in 2000 as a sideman. Earl Palmer grows up right down the road from us in New Orleans.
Did he now?
Yes, he did. Now, the thing about a sideman, can you be a chameleon? Can you play anything I want? Any guy I bring in, can you play?
Yeah.
Dig. This guy starts in New Orleans at Cosimo Matassa's famous J&M studio. That's the New Orleans sound, playing for Fats Domino, Smiley Lewis, Lloyd Price, the early rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Goes out to Los Angeles from 1950 to 1957 and is a huge sound guy out there in the Los Angeles area. Finishes up his career with people like Frank Sinatra, but he also plays with Phil Spector, Ricky Nelson, Bobby V, Ray Charles, Eddie Cochran. I mean, can this guy span the globe? When he's finally had, maybe I'll just say that's enough, comes back and decides to do jazz sessions with Dizzy Gillespie and Count Basie. So this guy can do soul, rock, Frank Sinatra. What do you call that? Swing?
Sure.
Anything this guy sits down to play, he can play.
Yeah, it's called talent.
I'm telling you. And I mean talent out the wazoo, the proverbial wazoo. Earl Palmer, one of the big side men in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. A wop baba luba balop bam boom. Here's Tutti Frutti on Rock School.
Wop baba luba balop bam bam tutti frutti. Oh, who?
Earl Palmer on Rock School, the New Orleans sound.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, even though, you know, that guy who sang it, Wah Babaloo Ba Ba La Bam Boom, is from Georgia, he came in to record at Cosmo Matassa's studio, and the great Earl Palmer was sitting there waiting for him.
Glad to see that the drummers are getting their due, man.
I'm going
to
come out with another drummer.
Yeah, we're not worried about the fame and the fortune.
That's
we're just
right.
Complete raw talent,
have
bro.
Have I played a guitarist yet?
No, no.
I don't think I have.
No, because you guys are stage hogs. Y'all want to be in the performers category. We'll be in the sideman category. Just recognize the talent.
Okay.
And realize that we're the strength behind the whole thing.
I understand. All righty. We're at the bottom of the hour. I'm Joe Burns.
Chad P.
Let's do 7 days and 70 seconds. Monday, September 13th through Sunday, September 19th. Chad, go.
All right. Monday, September 13th, 1975. The Boss, Bruce Springsteen, saw his first major commercial success, the Born to Run album. It cracked the charts.
So, Tuesday, September 14th, 25 years ago, co-hosted by Bette Midler and Dan Aykroyd, the first MTV award show is broadcast. No Lady Gaga.
September 15th, it's somebody's birthday.
Yeah, mine. I'm 24.
You're 24. Yeah, right.
Times two.
1980, The Elephant Man, starring David Bowie, opened on Broadway.
Thursday, September 16th, one day after my birthday. 40 years ago, Jimi Hendrix performs in public for the first time. I'm sorry, the last time at Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club in Soho, London, in an informal jam session with Eric Burdon and his band War.
September 17th. 2 days after your birthday. 1980, Bette Midler's concert movie Divine Madness premiered in Los Angeles.
Saturday, September 18th, Good Yom Kippur, by the way. 40 years ago, Jimi Hendrix dies from an alcohol and drug overdose at age 27 in London, England. And then Sunday, September 19th, 5 years ago, female rapper Lil' Kim, who's really little, enters the prison system to serve a one-year sentence after being found guilty of perjury.
Hey, I got a question here, Doc.
Shoot.
You talked about Jimi Hendrix just now. You remember a few shows back when we did the session musician work of Jimi Hendrix?
Yes.
Technically.
Not Jimi Hendrix.
Huh?
The guy from Led Zeppelin. Jimmy
Page. Oh, Jimmy Page. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, this is still the question.
Could Jimmy Page go in as a sideman?
Yes.
Probably.
See, I don't agree with that. I think Jimmy Page should go in as a performer if he's in already. I'm sure he is. Okay,
he
then.
Is. Could he go? I would. I'd vote for him.
Eh.
Who's Benny Benjamin?
Drummer for the Funk Brothers.
Good for you.
I know my drummers, dude. We stick together.
Yeah, he went in 2003. He, along with bassist James Jamerson, provided the absolute anchor for the Motown sound because everything was uptight. Everything's all right. Here you go. Stevie Wonder, Rock School. All right, let's leave the drummers behind for a little bit here and talk about another musical instrument.
Why?
I actually do have one guitarist.
Oh, do you?
And before it's over, I will play that guitarist. But I have more drummers, too. I actually do. I have a bassist, too. I don't know that we'll get to him.
Well, I know I made light of it, but honestly, the drummer rarely gets any recognition.
And you're right. We're stage hogs.
Why?
We guitarists.
Because that's who you see. You see the lead guitarist. You see the rhythm guitarist. You see the singer out there in front. The drummer is in the shadows, just kind of trying to keep the time and everything.
Yeah.
So
you know who you don't see a whole lot of?
Who's that?
Harmonica players or harmonicists. Little Waller goes in 2008 as a sideman in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He played with bluesman Muddy Waters. Now, what's his big claim to fame? He might not have been the first guy to play holding the harmonica in one hand and a microphone in the other and then cupping it together. May not have.
Don't tell me he did that little apparatus that fits around your head like headgear.
No, the halo?
Yeah, the halo.
No, he didn't use that. But he was the first guy to really explore what you could do by putting the mic right there behind it, and took this little inexpensive mouth organ that, you know, you would buy for a kid. You know, here you go, kid, take that. And, you know, he would learn to play, you know, Polly Wolly Doodle.
Yeah.
This guy takes this little mouth organ and turns it into a horn section. I mean, a roar, and becomes an absolute virtuoso and part of the Muddy Waters band.
Aren't you learning to play harmonica?
Not very well. Not like this. I gotta tell you. Here's a Hoochie Coochie Man right here. Little Waller, Rock School.
The gypsy woman told my mother before I was born, you got a boy child coming. He gonna be a son of a gun. He gonna make.
I am in a conundrum.
No, we're in a studio.
No, but I am in a conundrum wrapped in a something or other, wrapped in a something or other. The next sideman I want to talk about is Spooner Oldham. He's from Fame Studios, Florence, Alabama Music Enterprises.
Okay.
One of my jobs, one of my radio jobs, was at WQLT in Florence, Alabama.
Mm.
And we were a stone's throw from Fame Studios.
Yeah.
I mean, major people recorded there. Stones recorded there. Bob Seger recorded there. And I got a chance to sort of walk through it. I got a little tour of it. And it's one of those where, wow.
So what's the problem?
This guy is a keyboardist, Spooner Oldham. And was an absolute linchpin of Southern soul, R&B sound.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the music that he's played on is unbelievable. Wilson Pickett's Mustang Sally, Alexander's You Better Move On. I got two songs.
Okay.
Which would you play? Percy Sledge's When a Man Loves a Woman.
Or?
One of those perfect songs that if anybody remakes it, you know, drum them out of the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
Or Aretha Franklin's I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You. That's her first recording for Atlantic, by the way. Which one?
Why are you making me
pick?
I mean,
which one of these do you play?
Why did you wait until we got on mic to do this?
Because I'm a mean guy.
You are.
I have no idea which one to play.
Percy's got more Louisiana ties.
You think so?
I know so. He's in a lot of Jerry Lane Hummer commercials.
And for that...
And for that, I'd pick Percy Sledge.
That's which one you're
going to
play?
Yep.
Boy, that... Aretha's good, but okay.
Well, play Aretha then.
Percy Sledge.
You do this all the time. Which one? Which one, Chad? A or B? I say A.
I'm playing the one you want. I'm playing the one you want.
But you're making them comment. God, that Aretha Franklin song's good.
It is.
Why do you do that?
Because I'm mean.
Yeah, you are.
Here's Spooner. Percy Sledge, because Chad wants it. When a man loves a woman. Right here. Rock School.
When a man.
Correct answer. Correct answer. I think
what
that
correct
was the correct
answer?
Song. No, I think it was a correct song to
play.
Oh,
don't butter me up now.
I like the Aretha Franklin song is good, but I think that was the correct
They're
one to
They're both good
play.
Songs, dude. I didn't know what criteria to pick from. I saw a commercial the other night with Percy Sledge, so he's fresh in my mind.
Hey, well,
that's what I used.
That's enough. That's enough. You have to make a decision. When you're programming, you have to make a decision.
Well, why don't you make the decisions?
All right. We played one saxophonist. When we come back, we'll play the next saxophonist.
Okay.
From Phil Spector's Wrecking Crew. When we get back, we'll do a little surf music for you. Hello, WBSD, Burlington, Wisconsin.
Hello, Radio Universidad in Salamanca, Spain. We sure hope you think we're as funny as we do.
And we think we're funny. It's ask our wives.
Yep.
It's pathetic.
We record it and play it over.
That's right. Back in a minute. Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about sidemen this week. Next week, we'll do early influences. We're hoping for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to quickly make their announcements. They normally do them in mid-September and then tell you who actually is going in the performance category.
Well, you know they're listening, so
sure.
You guys could just go ahead and expedite that. We
appreciate
it. Yeah,
if you hurry up, because we need that for next week's show. If not, we're going to have to announce it the week after, and that show is already locked in stone.
You're really making it difficult on us, guys.
Sure, we're three weeks ahead. We have no idea. He called me today an hour before the show and said, what are we doing?
I don't know. Yeah.
Let me reach into my box of, oh, look what we're doing. In 2003, Steve Douglas of Phil Spector's Wrecking Crew went in. This guy was the saxophonist of the Beach Boys up through Pet Sounds, was also on Tina Turner's River Deep, Mountain High, You've Lost That Love and Feeling. I mean, and then go crazy. Elvis, B.B. King, Aretha Franklin, Bobby Darin, Duane Eddy. and on and on and on and on and on. But his big thing was the Beach Boys, all the way up through Pet Sounds. Where else would you hear him? He's on To Do Run Run. And this one, Surf City, Rock School. You didn't have any trouble picking this one.
Well, yeah.
I told you the songs I had left, and you had no trouble picking this one.
It's an added pressure when we do it on mic, okay?
Yeah.
Why don't you leave me alone?
I listed the five songs we have left, and he went, oh, play that.
Well,
no
yeah.
trouble whatsoever.
I love that song, dude.
All right. Well, we're going to play it. In 2003, a person from Shreveport, Louisiana.
This is to KSCL.
There you go. Shreveport, Louisiana. Who? What did we say about them this week?
It's where the Rap Hall of Fame should be.
That's right. So this guy's going into the Rap Hall of Fame, although I don't believe he actually sings. Floyd Kramer. Floyd Kramer, a fantastic piano player. The big thing you got to know about Floyd Kramer is his Slipknot. Do you play piano at all?
No.
I can chord a piano.
What's a Slipknot?
Think of a grace note where instead of just playing a note, boing, you play sort of two notes simultaneously. So one note kind of bloop. So instead of going boing, it goes boing.
Okay.
It sort of pulls up to the note. And it's difficult to do on a piano. On a guitar, you just sort of pull your finger up real quick across a fret.
Mm-hmm.
But on a piano, it's difficult to do. And that's what this guy did. And you sort of know Floyd Kramer just from that sound. Part of the A-Team, played a whole lot with Chet Atkins. And again, I could go nuts just listing names here. Orbison, Everly Brothers, Brenda Lee, Elvis, if you want, go online, look him up, and just here are all the people he played with, and then just scroll the page for 8 miles, and on it went. Put out stuff on his own, of course, but Floyd Kramer, Nashville sound, and nothing sounds more Nashville than this. If you remember when Ross Perot ran for president, and the whole world kept saying, that guy's crazy! Patsy Cline. Crazy. Here you go. Rock School.
Vote for me. I'm Ross Perot. I'm running for president. Vote for me, please. Would you vote for me? Please, please, please vote for me. Me.
Crazy. Okay, we're coming up on just about 10 minutes left in the show. Have time for two more songs. Let me tell you two people we're not going to play. Both of these people went in 2009. DJ Fontana. You know who this guy is?
Drummer.
Yeah. He was 1955 Elvis Presley's drummer, expanding Elvis Presley's little three-piece group to a four-piece, by the way, out of Shreveport, Louisiana, once again.
Shreveport getting the love today, man.
You bet. 2009, also, Bill Black was a bass guitarist, and of course, Elvis' first bassist was on Elvis's recordings from Sun Records and went on to play on Jailhouse Rock for RCA. I can't not play this guy. I have to. He was one of the first sidemen to go in 2000. James Jamerson, part of the Funk Brothers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How do you pick a song from this guy? He's been to the top of the charts more than any other musician in history, period.
Bass player, right?
Bass player, yeah. I don't even want to sit here and list them. I just had to pick one. He was on more hits than anybody else, and again, been to the top more than anybody else. Had to pick one song that I liked. My favorite song out of Motown, especially one by the girl groups, Love Child by the Supremes, because I just love hearing the backup people go, Tenement Slum, and just try to sing that. I love that. Here's Love Child, James Jamerson, Rock School. Last break here on Rock School, and I left the guitarist for last.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, as much fun as we have with Shreveport, Louisiana, it comes up again.
Does it now?
There is a statue of this guy in front of the Municipal Auditorium in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Who?
James Burton.
Burton,
James
really?
Burton, guitarist, known for that twang, that Fender Telecaster sound. He was Elvis's guitarist in Elvis's later years when he was wearing the big jumpsuits with the capes and all
of
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But most people know him for Emmylou Harris, John Denver, but mostly Rick Nelson. And if you want to have a Telecaster sound, you want to sound like James Burton. Finger picking, chicken picking, just defined what a rock and roll guitar should sound like. He's actually from Minden, Louisiana, but one of the favorite sons of Shreveport. Here's one from the early days, Rick Nelson. Hello, Mary Lou. That wraps it up. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
Next week, we deal with the early influences, and hopefully we will have the names of those who have a shot at going in 2011 into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That does it. Class is dismissed.
Hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart, sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love.